more about God's gifts and for God to give us, his church, more of his gifts, the hunger. I hope that's the same for all of us, that, you know, that we started talking about these gifts, that we give us hunger to see more of God at work. So I've got an enviable task of talking about gifts of healing and miracles tonight. And I'm going to talk about lots of different things. I've got no notes, all I've got is slides, so I'm relying on God completely tonight. I've got three main areas I'm going to talk about. Does God still heal today? What about when God doesn't heal? And then the gift of healing. That's my kind of three main topic areas, so we'll see how it goes. So 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7 to 10. It says, "Now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good." We'll come back to that a bit later. To one there is given through the Spirit a measure of wisdom, to another a measure of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another miraculous powers. So Paul is talking to the church in Corinthians here. So it's not just the apostles. He's expecting that the church in Corinth are receiving the same Spirit and the same gifts. So it's not like the gifts of the Spirit and gifts of healing had passed away. I'll come back to that in a bit later. So I'd a quick look. What do we mean by healing? What do we mean by miracles? So I've got a few kind of examples here. Healings, to make free from injury or disease, to make sound or whole, e.g. heal a wound, to make well again, to restore to health. And miracles, an extraordinary event manifesting divine intervention in human affairs, or an unusual and mysterious event that is thought to have been caused by God because it does not follow the usual laws of nature. That's healing and miracles. I'm going to focus primarily on healing tonight. And Wikipedia, a good source of quotes, is a good Catholic guy who quoted this. Gifts of healing are supernatural enablements given to a believer to minister various kinds of healing and restoration to individuals through the power of the Holy Spirit. Supernatural enablements given to a believer. So, miracles just ahead. So what are healings and miracles for? I mean, you hear these stories of people, don't you, going, they hear of a move of God, so they're chasing after that move of God. So they want to go and see God at work. They want to see God's miracle at work. They want to see God moving in power. They want to see things happening. But is that the right thing? I always have a bit of a quandary about that, because really, healings are not for us, and miracles are not just for us. Healings are for the church, and we'll talk about that in a second. And secondly, they're for the world. And thirdly, and most importantly, they're to glorify God. They're not just for us to have a thrill or an excitement. There's a purpose. God has a purpose for everything. So healing for the church, we read it in the verse just a few moments ago in Corinthians. It says, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. So it's not just for our own sake, not just for our own healing. It's actually to share with one another so we can actually bring healing in the body. It's also for the world. This is a challenging verse from 2 Chronicles 7, verse 14. It says, if my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. There's a world out there, outside of our church, and there's a nation that is in need of God's healing at the moment. This week we're going to have a new prime minister. That's going to be interesting. I've never known the country be so divided, and the world be so divided and broken into different parties and different conflicting areas. The world is in need of God's healing at the moment. I think we can all agree with that. Thirdly, healing is to show God's glory. When Jesus heard that Lazarus was ill, he got word of this, and before he actually died, Jesus said this. He said, "This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it. So healing is to show and demonstrate that God's Son, Jesus, was who he was, and to give him the glory, not for our own glory. So if healing happens through us, it's not our glory, it's his. So the miracles of Jesus in the Bible, there's lots and lots of them. How many? Depends on who you speak to. I looked this up, and some people say there's 40, some say there's 70. There's a lot of them. He turned water into wine. He carried out healings of fevers, of leprosy, paralytics, blind, lame, crippled. He drove out evil spirits. He walked on water. He calmed a storm. And we'll be singing a song about that partly later on. He caused a fig tree to wither. He caught a huge amount of fish in a net that was broke. He fed thousands of people with a small number of loaves and fish. He healed a man let down through a roof. And he brought Lazarus back to life. These are just a few of Jesus' healings and miracles. And then in John 21, verse 25, it says this. Jesus did many other things as well. If every one of them was written down, I suppose that even the whole world would not have room for the books that would be written. So the amount of healings and miracles that Jesus demonstrated, it's not, the Bible doesn't contain them all. It says that the world would not have room for the books that would be written. The biggest library in the world, apparently, it depends on who you talk to, the British or the Americans. The British say it's the British Library. It's with 170 million plus items. That's a picture of just the reading room in the British Library. That's a lot of books. The amount of things that Jesus did. And the world hasn't got enough books or libraries to contain it. So that's the healings of Jesus. But in the book of Acts, there were healings too. For example, Peter's shadow had power to heal. Peter healed a lame man and raised someone to life. He was delivered out of prison by an angel. He healed a cripple and cast out spirits. He was bitten by a viper, but not harmed. Prison doors were opened by an earthquake. And then this is one of my favorites of the out of Acts. It says, God did extraordinary miracles through the hands of Paul, so that even handkerchiefs and aprons that had touched him were taken to the sick. And the diseases and evil spirits left. Imagine that. You were so in touch with God's spirit that your handkerchief could be taken to someone else and they could be healed. So the question is, that was all well and good. There's healings in the Bible. There's healings in the New Testament. And in Jesus giving healings. Peter, Paul. Lots of healings. But is the gift of healing still for today? Because some people say that was only for that time. It was only when the apostles were around. I beg to differ. Jesus himself, 14, very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. So we read it just a few moments ago about the world not having enough books for the things that Jesus did. He said, you're going to do greater things. It's not going to stop with me. It's not going to stop with the apostles and the disciples. You're going to do greater things. That's what he's promised us. And God is not someone who changes. Jesus Christ, it says in Hebrews 13:8, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't change. He's not like he was a healer then, and he's not a healer now. Healing is also in God's nature. It's in his nature. In Exodus 15, verse 26, it says, the first time we hear the words of one of the names of God, which is Jehovah Rapha. In Exodus 15, 26, it says, he said, if you listen carefully to the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his eyes, if you pay attention to his commands and keep all his decrees, I will not bring on you any of the diseases I brought on the Egyptians. For I am the Lord who heals you. Jehovah Rapha. I am the Lord who heals you. I am. It's not I was or I will be. I am the Lord who heals you. So God is a healer. But what happens when God doesn't heal? Because we've all had examples of that, I guess. When our friends, our family haven't been healed. Personally, when we haven't been healed. There can be lots of different reasons for that. And we haven't got enough time tonight to go through all that type of reasons why God might not heal someone. I can only talk about my own experience. 18 years and 12 days ago, exactly, I can remember the day, I was diagnosed with an incurable eye condition. Some of you know, and I've told this story before. And that was a real challenge to my faith as to, okay, I've got this eye condition, and I've asked God many times for healing. God, will you heal me? I'm grateful that the deterioration of my eyesight has been slow. But so many of us, we'll have conditions where God doesn't seem to answer us. For me, it was even more complicated because my eyesight condition is caused by genetics. So when when I was being made in my mother's womb, I inherited 40 genes, one from each parent. So it's a bit of a challenge. It's something you have to wrestle with, and I've had to wrestle with that over the years as to why God made me that way. But recently in fellowship group, we've been talking about various things about self-esteem and who God, how God made us. And particularly, I love Psalm 139. I've talked about this before, but in different verses. And what Psalm 139 talks about God knitting us together in our mother's womb and us being fearfully and wonderfully made. Sometimes I think we look at ourselves and think, God, if only you'd made me a bit shorter or a bit slimmer or a bit taller or a bit cleverer or a bit more handsome or whatever it might be. Whatever it may be. You've probably all thought those thoughts at some point. But God says you are fearfully and wonderfully made. And the world tries to tell us that we need to fit into this perfect box, this image of what health and wholeness really looks like. That's not what God says. God says you are fearfully and wonderfully made. It's a challenge to us to recognize that and wrestle with that, that God says we are fearfully and wonderfully made. And I've had to wrestle with that. But God, Paul had the same issue. Paul, he had a thorn in the flesh, he says, in Corinthians. And we don't know a thorn in the flesh. Some people say it was physical illness. Some say it was mental. Some say we don't know. But Paul said that Jesus told him that my grace, this is 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. So when we're weak, God's grace is sufficient for us to make us strong. When we don't experience God's healing today, his strength and his grace is enough for us. Does that mean I don't believe that God can heal me? No, I believe he can, and hopefully one day he will. But until then, I'm not going to stop being the man, the person that God has made me to be. God's greatest miracle, which none of us can deny, or any of us here who've given our lives to Jesus, the greatest miracle no one can deny is that Jesus has taken us from death into life, from our sin into wholeness. So spiritually, if we've given our lives to him, we are all spiritual, no matter what our bodies are doing or not doing. And in Romans 8, verse 11, it says this, this is an amazing thing to contemplate. Let's just dwell on this for a second. The Spirit of God, who raised Jesus from the dead, lives in you. And just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies by the same Spirit living within you. So he promises that his Spirit is living in us. His Spirit is living and working in us. He's giving life to our mortal bodies, our mortal failing bodies. He's giving life to us. God is still a healer. In Isaiah 53, verse 5, it says this, he took up our pain and he bore our suffering. Yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him. And by his wounds we are healed. By his wounds we are healed. Jesus, amazing sacrifice that we be healed by his sacrifice for us. I must flick back to Corinthians. It says this in Corinthians: God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helping, administrating, and various kinds of tongue. He's given gifts of healing to us. And he's given us gifts of healing so that we can use them. In 1 Peter 4, verse 10, it says this: God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. So it's not like there is an absence of gifts. God's always saying there is gifts, there's gifts. You have gifts. I think our challenges, and I'm talking to myself here, our challenges is our lack of faith that God has given us those gifts. A lack of faith that when we step out and pray that God's going to do what he says he's going to do. The apostles, in Luke 17, verse 5, the apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. And this is the verse about the mustard seed where Jesus says to them, well, if you had faith as small as a mustard seed, you would talk to that mulberry tree and it would be cast into the lake. So that's my prayer for all of us, is that God increases our faith. He's the God, he's the healer. He promises us healing. God needs to increase our faith. So that's my prayer for all of us tonight. I've mentioned this verse before when I've spoken. Romans 8, verse 19, he says, the creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed, and the daughters of God. We are the people that God has called to bring healing to our families, to our country, to our city. The creation is waiting for us, the church, to stand up and step out. And it's a challenge to all of us to make that step. But he's promised that he will give the gift of healing to us, to his church. It's not you. I want to see more of that. I want to see all the gifts we've talked about. I want to see more of that working in through our church. And I'm going to do something slightly different now. If you're in the ministry team, maybe not necessarily tonight, but any night, can you just put your hands up? Thank you. Fantastic. I love the ministry team. They're so brilliant. If you go and talk to the ministry team and ask for prayer, I've had so many good conversations and prayer times with the ministry team. But I want to pray for the ministry team that God gives more of his gifts of healing and miracles to the team, but not just for the ministry team, because this is a prayer for all of us. It's a prayer for all. It's a challenge for all of us to ask God for more faith that he will pour out his spirit and give us those gifts. So I'm just going to have a quick drink because my voice is going. I just want to pray. I've got one more thing to say, but then I want to pray first, if I may. Lord, just thank you for your promises and your gifts that you've poured out onto your church. Lord, I thank you particularly for the ministry team and their work in this area, in praying for people for healing and for miracles to take place in people's lives. Lord, will you pour out your spirit and your gifting onto them? Will you increase their faith? Lord, will you increase all of our faith? Will you challenge us to step out and to say and do things we wouldn't normally do? Lord, will you pour out your gifts onto each of us as you see fit? Will you give us an eagerness and a desire and a hunger for more of you, to see more of you in the church, not just this church, but the whole wide church? Lord, will you touch us with your spirit? Will you come down and change our attitudes, change our hearts, give us a passion to see you move, not for our glory, Lord, but for your glory, to see you come and move in the church and changing lives and bring in this church, this neighborhood, this nation back to you. Will you do that, Lord, in the name of Jesus? Amen. One more thing I want to share. I wasn't going to share this, but I feel like I want to share this one last verse. I've shared a lot of verses, I know. Psalm 147, verse 2 says, he heals the brokenhearted and bandages their wounds. I'm not sure if that means anything to someone tonight, but he heals, he puts broken hearts back together, and he wants to say something to someone tonight that I understand, and he wants to wrap his arms around you and bandage your wounds. I feel like God wants me to share that. If that means something to you, that's great. The worship team back up. I should have asked a minute ago. If that means anything to you, there's a ministry team on tonight. But if you feel that you want to share something with someone next to you, or a friend, or someone next to you, that you want God to, you want prayer for, that God to God to heal something in your life, to give you extra faith in particular areas, then please do that as well. We're going to sing a couple of songs to carry on. And the ministry team, I believe, will be at the back, the left, yeah, the back, if you need them. So thank you for listening, and pass over to the band.